Ed Isaacson joins us with NBADraftBlog.com. Ed, thanks for taking a few minutes to kick around the draft. And what's the difference now, 10 days out from maybe 3 months out, in addition to I'm sure a lot of things have cleared up, but maybe other things became more muddy and more confused in that time frame?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that happened is, the teams have done all their work at this point. They've done their due diligence. For the most part, they've gotten the players they're most interested in for either individual workouts or, the three-on-three workouts. So really, it's now just about sort of slotting which players, that are going to be, which are likely to be around where you pick, are you going to be most interested in, and sort of playing out the different scenarios as the picks roll off, and sort of making sure you're not really caught by any surprises. So you're checking around the league, checking in to see who other teams may be interested in, and trying to get a good sense of, where everyone's going to fall.
Have there been any big movement up or down here, in the top 10, or like when the Jazz, if you're going to include 12, has there been a player or two sliding or rocketing up?
Probably the biggest riser, and it depends on, really the point of view you look at it, has been Marquese Chriss out of Washington, who was a likely lottery pick heading, into draft season, but now is being seen as a possible top five pick. So that could affect what happens in the lottery if he goes that high. Some are even saying the Celtics at three. The other thing, and this just is coming out in the last 12 hours or so, is a Turkish prospect, Furkan Korkmaz.
Yeah, it was a guy that's been tied to the Jazz a lot.
Yeah, word is he's actually seriously considering pulling out of the draft this year.
Would cause that kind of a decision? Is that injury related, or is that just he senses maybe a slide and wants to position himself for another time, or what?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of the fact that he's going to have to stay overseas likely anyway, at least another year. The idea that with another year of experience and getting some more playing time at a high level, instead of going in the 12 to 16 range, he looks at, the way Mario Hezonja rose last season, ending up as a top six pick. So it's probably a combination of those things, but nothing definite has come out, and if he hears from the team before the deadline, they're planning on taking him top 10, top 12. There's a good chance that he'll stay in.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously folks around here interested in the stock of Jakob Poeltl, kind of a traditional back-to-the-basket big. You look at the finals and bigs are an endangered species. Bogut will start and play, 10 minutes, maybe 15 in a game. And Timofey Mozgov, who had a decent run last year in the finals, another traditional center, can't get on the court either. And yet here's Jakob Poeltl, who certainly has wowed some teams. And what's his standing like now, 10 days out?
As it's been seen probably since the beginning of draft season, he is the top big man, what you consider a classic big man in this draft. And there is still a role for them, especially when you move as well as Poeltl. There's always going to be a need if you can rebound, block shots. We're not talking about the superstars that we used to get as big men, unless you're a versatile offensive player, say like Karl Towns. But there's always going to be a role, especially if you can get out on the perimeter, set screens, roll to the basket, on the defensive end, block shots, and Hurdle can, sort of checks off those boxes.
Sure.
So we're looking at Toronto probably losing Bismack Biyombo, who could command a big amount in free agency. Or Milwaukee at 10, not really sold on what Greg Monroe gave them last year. So they could be a team that takes a serious look at them.
It's interesting, Pirtle and his people deciding not to work out for the Jazz. Do you echo their thoughts that he's not going to be there at 12 anyway?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's still at 10, if Milwaukee doesn't grab him right there. But I said there's even a chance, that Toronto at 9, would be the one to grab him first. So if he gets past there, it would probably shock a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And then, the Jazz, everyone's always, trying to figure out in one of the most tight-lipped organizations in any sport. Denzel Valentine's been in. Malachi Richardson is there's been scuttlebutt about him. Marquese Chris seems to have played himself out of the Jazz range. Who would you slot in there? And I guess the sense here with all their assets and with their needs being really, accentuated now that they need shooters, that there may be a move to try to get up and get a Jamal Murray. What is your sense of what the Jazz might do, understanding that, we're still 10 days out?
Yeah, the one thing to watch for with this draft is people are expecting a lot of movement. You have a handful of teams that have multiple first-round picks, including the Celtics at number 3, a rookie doesn't benefit them as much as adding, another talented young player with some experience, because we're talking about a team that was already in 5th in the Eastern Conference. So they have the pieces they need. So if the Jazz are interested in moving up, there may be some partners for them if they can match the right assets. But if they end up staying at 12, they'll be able to fill some needs in the backcourt. I guess there's some idea, whether Dante Exum is really ever going to pan out to what they expect him to be. And even if he does show a little more this year, it's always valuable to have some more talent at the point guard position. So a guy like Wade Baldwin could make sense there. Valentine, of course, Michigan State product, just knows the game so well, can play tough defense, could be a great pick there. So there seems to be word coming out today. There are rumors going on that his medicals haven't gone as well as people expected, and there may be some problems, but those kind of rumors always sort of hit this time of year. But it explains why he seems to be slotted so low on draft boards. Or they could reach for a young project like Malachi Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly not ready to contribute now, but he's a guy who just has that knack for scoring. And if you could sort of rein in his negative tendencies, 2-3 years down the road, you could have a pretty good player.
Right. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the Celtics. Beyond really the point of wanting to draft, they've been talk about Buddy Hield and, Murray. They want a guy who can space and score and all that. Who doesn't? But it's interesting that the Jazz would seem to be somewhat in that mold as well with a lot of young veterans. But certainly the Celtics have already made that turn. They're a legit team in the East. The Jazz still fighting to, become a playoff team in the West. And do they want to invest, again, in a young guy who's going to be 2 or 3 years away? This team looks like it's ripe to be ready right now. You mentioned Dante Exum, a huge question mark, although, certainly showed signs his rookie year. But, they were hoping to see more already by now. Now they're going to have to wait, pretty much another season to find out exactly where he fits in the future of this program. So the Jazz could go really either way. I think there's a sense from the fans who are the most patient in the league that maybe it's time to, sort of go a little more all in on the present.
Yeah, and that's understandable. And like I said, a lot of movements expected. I mean, the Jazz want to get in on, you know, being able to move out of that 12 spot down. There'll probably be some takers there because there are going to be some interesting players who may not fit exactly what the Jazz are looking for, what they need right now, but certainly could help some other teams. We have a group of young athletic big men, but who are more project than player right now, which the Jazz don't really need, but you can see where some other teams might. So there could be some takers if they look in that direction.
Mm-hmm. We're with Ed Isaacson, getting a great read on the draft, which is just 10 days away. Ed Isaacson with NBADraftBlog.com, the Twitter handle at NBADraftBlog. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about, are there any internet, you mentioned Korkmaz, who's a guy who had been labeled, floated around the Jazz for many, many weeks, and now there's some sense that he might not be around. He might decide to not participate in the draft. Are there other internationals that Jazz fans should keep an eye on? Or, again, we're getting into that, you know, draft and stash kind of thing, which I think the Jazz Nation would rather see them find, you know, tangible product that can help them now, whether it's a young veteran free agent or, you know, maybe a high-end draft guy up the board somewhere.
Yeah, in terms of international talent, you know, there are some players this year, but it's not as deep, I think, as we've seen in, you know, the past 4 to 5 years. Of course, you have Dragan Bender, who's likely to be mm-hmm. a top five pick, so not
right.
really on the Jazz radar right now. And we discussed Korkmaz. The only other player who may be considered in the Jazz's range at 12 is French wing Timothy Luau. 6'7", has the prototypical small forward body, long arms. Again, he's 21, so a bit older than some of these other international prospects. But his improvement has come along steadily. He can knock down some shots now from the outside, can attack the basket, can create off the dribble a bit, has the tools that will hopefully eventually translate into a solid NBA defender.
Mm-hmm.
But again, hasn't, you know, played at the highest levels yet, still has a lot to prove. So again, not exactly what the Jazz are looking for here, but if they're not finding what they're really looking for and they can't find a trade partner, he might be a good option as someone to keep overseas for another year or two, let him develop more physically, get a chance to play at a higher level over in Europe, and come over and be ready to step in pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating as we tick down closer. Kyle Collinsworth, the West Coast Conference Player of the Year, BYU product, came in and had a workout with the Jazz, also worked out with the Nets and the Timberwolves. I believe that's the extent of his NBA workouts. The sense is that, you know, he's going to be a nice European player, but really probably won't have a spot on an NBA roster. Have you heard anything about workouts, or is there any sense that that would change what I said?
No, I think you've pretty much nailed it on Collins' work. When you're as skilled as he is, there's always the chance you're going to be able to work your way in,
right.
go to summer league route, hopefully get a training camp invite. But you know, the two sort of knocks against him are two of the things you really can't have at this point. One is the lack of perimeter shooting ability.
Right.
And the other is, who is he going to defend? I know he put up 2+ steals a game at BYU, but he doesn't have the movement or the speed to guard anyone in the NBA backcourt right now. And he doesn't have those fundamentals really down. He just has a good sense of what he's supposed to be doing. So unless you know, we can somehow fix those two things, you know, overseas would be great for him. And
sure,
there's a good chance he could be a star over there.
Right.
But, you know, the NBA is, you know, something for him to just, you know, take a different path if that's where he, you know, really wants to end up.
Right. Well, good stuff there. Certainly, as we back out and we're 10 days away, what typically happens from this point on? You mentioned at the beginning, we're with Ed Isaacson, NBADraftBlog.com. Ed, you mentioned that pretty much the work's been done. The hay's in the barn now.
You know, some teams are trying to get in guys last minute, or maybe guys for second workout.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the time we're going to see a lot more rumors flying around about who teams are interested in. The use of misinformation.
You mean lying?
To try and create impressions that to work to your benefit.
Now, are those GMs or agents or just a combination of depending on, you know, the need of the story, where the derivation may come?
It's everyone. the way it works is if something is being told for public consumption, with something that, especially that, you know, such a long process, such a tightly guarded process in many places. If it's being given for someone to have report about, there's an angle there. A lot of times with the agents, they want to try and create the impression that there's more buzz around their guy. GMs are trying to throw guys off the trail of who they may be interested in. And a lot of times there are sources claimed out there, but without ever having to say who the source is,
right?
There's a lot of they're a source, but how tuned in are they actually to what's going on? We're in an era where it's all about success. It's all about getting clicks on sites, and the more you can report, the more people will want to read.
Yeah.
And anything makes for a good story.
Yes, exactly. No, I, and now more than ever, the misinformation, as you said, and it's all about a desired result, be it the team or agents or all kinds of things. And that's why that's what makes it, the most fun coming up on draft night when all of the words go away and it's now you get to see where the thought process really is with players, with teams as they, try to team build and try to assess the draft talent. That's what makes draft night fun because it's all reality, right? It's time to put up or shut up.
all it takes is one team to sort of go off the rails and it can throw the whole thing into chaos. So you can plan as much as you want, for all the different scenarios. But all it takes is one team to go off script, and you can end up with a whole new draft.
Right. Well, we certainly appreciate another visit from you, Ed Isaacson, NBADraftBlog.com. I know you'll be busy right up to it. We'll be following your work online. Keep it up at NBA Draft Blog on Twitter. A great follow. Ed, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us, and good luck here as the days count down.
Oh, thanks. Always great talking to you.